The following pre-recorded program, paid for by Apartment Water Solutions, LLC, does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff, management, or ownership of this station.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. We have a great show today with a wonderful power panel of industry movers and shakers who are experts on the topic of today's show. Now, multifamily properties have all different types of residents who reside at the site. Most residents are a pleasure and a joy to deal with. However, at every property, there can be a small group of residents. Well, I guess you could say they would be difficult residents. With this in mind, today we're going to pull back the curtain and discuss the tips and tricks of working with difficult residents. So our topic for today is the best ways to deal with difficult residents at multifamily properties. Joining us on the power panel in our studio is Starla Turnbow, a partner with SMI Realty, and Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. Thank you guys for coming in today.
Thank you.
So when we were having a little chat before the show, we were talking about this issue of how to deal with difficult residents is important enough that there are classes and seminars around the country that are given. And Starla, you mentioned, matter of fact, this particular week there was one at one of the association offices.
That's right. Actually, this topic is talked about not just locally here in Houston, but all over the country. And this week, the Houston Apartment Association provided a class for the local association members to attend on this same subject.
Right. And I remember seeing a cover for the HA Magazine Abode recently. I think it said something like 600,000 apartment units and counting for the Houston area. Obviously, there's out of that 600,000, a certain percentage of them is going to be residents who have issues or problems that need to be dealt with. So, Stephanie, what do you do as far as how you talk to your staffs about the first thing that needs to be done when someone comes in with an issue?
Sure. I think Starla and I talked earlier about none of us have difficult residents. We all just are posed with challenges daily that challenge our wits about us and challenge our skill level. So certainly when we're training our on-site staffs or when we're training those that are members of the association, it's imperative that they understand that 9 times out of 10, the resident is looking to be heard. Mm-hmm. You know, they're frustrated about something, and whatever that is, whether they're in the wrong or whether we're in the wrong, which happens occasionally, it's important that we really stop what we're doing and pay close attention to what their concerns are without thinking about how we're going to deal with it, right? Like address, listen to what their needs are, what their challenges are, their frustrations, and then figure out a plan to obviously make that better in any capacity we can. It's not always going to be in the best interest of the company or the best interest of the resident. Sometimes we try to look and try to teach a win-win situation. You know, no one wants to feel like they've been taken advantage of or that they're not getting something out of the arrangement. So right. Listening, I think, is a top priority. When we get it on the upper level, let's say the leasing agent and then the manager are dealing with the situation, by the time it gets to Starla and myself, usually it's because the on-site team hasn't taken the time and they just kind of want to be heard.
Right.
Starla?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Our goal at the end of the day with each resident is to make sure that they walk away feeling like that they've dealt with a professional person and that their needs have been met.
Right. And I think when you mentioned listening, I think that is so important. But also, I think body language is important, too. Do they teach anything about body language?
Yeah. We recently went through a certified apartment manager training class. We were talking about the importance of voice, nonverbal communication, you know, paying attention to the resident. We're very busy in our everyday lives. We've got, you know, owners pulling at us and vendors pulling at us and residents. And so when someone comes in, they're already heated. They're already at a level that's above what we're willing to deal with. And so It tends to be the immediate response of the on-site teams is to be defensive and defend their stance on something, whether we sent a notice or charged a late fee or whatever that may be that caused that irritation of the resident. They immediately want to defend their point instead of stopping, listening, thanking the resident for bringing it up to them. Because certainly in this day and age, they have another platform to go to complain about us, don't they?
Right.
You know, the on-site social media platform has certainly changed our multifamily industry. And so they could just go straight to their constituents, if you will, their social media friends, and complain about how awful we are as managers. So we really need to be thankful that they're coming to us first.
Yes.
Because it's much easier to complain to a neighbor or to complain online.
Yeah, and I think in one of the next segments, we'll talk a little bit about the social media and reputation management and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think on that body language question, I think that's very important. If, you know, someone comes in, and this is not just in our industry, but I think in all industries, and they are upset, I think offering them to sit down and to have a conversation with them at the same level as opposed to a manager or someone in an office standing up while they're sitting down. Have both people sit down and talk about the situation.
Right.
Invite them to just relax and tell me what the problem is so that we can get to a solution.
Yeah, and some articles I was reading about dealing with difficult residents, I know they were talking about when you're dealing with that, when you're sitting across from somebody, don't take any phone calls, don't look at your cell phone, you know, give them your undivided attention. And I think that's important to make the person feel like they're being heard and that what they have to say is important.
Yeah, in using the terminology, I want to help you,
mm-hmm.
let's get to how I can help you with this.
Yeah.
And sometimes even asking if you can take notes. Is it okay if I make note of what you're saying, because what you're telling me is important and I don't want to miss anything?
Yes.
You know, just like dealing with your spouse is the same way as dealing with a resident. Make sure that you're taking the time, you're addressing the need and summarizing. So what you're telling me is, you know, the gate hit your car at 10 o'clock and then your car was damaged and you told us 3 days later. Is that what you're telling me?
Right.
You know, and so I think sometimes it's also to repeat it so the resident hears what they're saying, because sometimes what they're saying may not make sense to them because they're so upset about it.
Yeah.
So truly listening and, again, getting on their level is imperative.
Yeah, and another thing I read in preparing for the show was that there's a person who said that there is something to be said for a problem resident, but you need to determine if it's actually a resident problem. In other words, is it something that falls within the three categories that he stated, which was, is it a problem resident because it's a issue with paying their rent or being delinquent on their rent, or is it a problem with the fact that they've damaged property, or is it a problem with the fact that they are a nuisance to the other residents or dangerous to the other residents? That would make them a problem resident. But if it's a resident problem, if it's a maintenance issue or something, you need to be able to quickly identify which one it is and then go in the direction you need to go. And I'm sure you've seen that on some of your properties over the years.
Sure. I think the other thing is making sure that you don't put policies in place that cause confrontation or conflict with a resident.
Right.
You know, as you grow in your career and as you kind of develop and learn, you know, doing this for several years, there's some things that you have in place that sometimes are not resident friendly.
Right.
And so they cause more confrontation than necessary to protect a few. An example that we use, that we see frequently, is reserved parking.
Right.
Tends to cause a lot of friction within the community. And so, you know, you're reserving and you're catering to a few to give them reserved parkings and inconveniencing a great majority. And so sometimes, certainly when you have reserved parking, that's going to be an item. You're going to have at least once a month an issue of people being very upset because a visitor parked in their parking place, and then we deal with towing. Don't
right.
even talk about towing. That could be a whole four other shows on towing. So, you know, avoiding those confrontations and making sure you have clear expectations with your residents
right.
on how that process is, I think, is imperative as an operator.
I, you know, it's interesting that you brought up reserve parking, because we did a show recently on resident retention.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guests on the show, I believe, said that you can offer a reserve parking spot to someone to, you know, entice them to potentially renew their lease if it's a good resident.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see where that could cause problems by doing that. And I think I've seen over the years in the industry where people would go to reserve parking for the property and then they would get away from it because it was causing those issues and problems. And sometimes someone else will come in, and a new owner, and they'll go back to that. And
well, I think depending on the age of the property and how the parking was set up initially and how many parking spaces that you have per apartment. So those things all, you know, the dynamics and the number of parking spaces and your occupancy all fluctuate.
Right.
So you need to really
consider all those things.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, we are finishing up our first segment, and we are going to take a short break, and a very short break, but we'll be right back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
We are back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the best ways to deal with difficult residents at multifamily properties. Joining me in the studio is Starla Turnbow with SMI Realty and Stephanie Graves with Q10 Property Advisors. And we talked about a lot of different theories and things that you can do as far as listening and body language and so forth. But I think our listeners would probably like to hear a little bit about some real-world instances where you guys have come across a difficult resident and what the situation was and how you resolved the problem. So, Starla, you want to start?
Sure. So I've been in the industry for 32 years now, so I've had a few of these encounters in the past 32 years. But you know, I'd like to think that all of the time that I'm solving these problems, that it's just a service to our residents. And I guess the most recent encounter that I had or situation that I had was an amazing resident, actually, living at a nice, quiet property that just didn't really feel like they had the interaction that they needed with the on-site management team. So I tried getting on the telephone with them on a conference call while they were in the manager's office, and that didn't seem to go over as well as he wanted it to, which was fine. So the next step to his feeling better about everything was to see me in person. And right away, without hesitation, you know, I said, no problem, I'll meet with you. And it was a commute for this particular resident to get to me, and he was willing to do that. And so we set the appointment. And at the end of the situation, that's all he wanted, is someone to sit down with him and to see him face to face and to listen. And I think that that's what we're dealing with on a regular basis. People really want us to solve their problems. And it doesn't matter if it is a leaking toilet or if it's, you know, something that is outside of the realm of what we normally do. They just need someone to solve their problem. And if we think of our industry more as a service business as opposed to a real estate business, I think sometimes then we get the benefit of that long term.
Right.
And I honestly think that this resident now will be with us, you know, 10 years.
Sure. Right. You made him happy. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the goal always, you know, it's always to make everybody in the situation feel okay. You don't want the leasing agent or on-site team to feel like you're going against, you know, certainly from a senior, like any kind of supervisory level that has people reporting to them. It becomes difficult when you have a resident call you and they've gone over the head. They're not satisfied with the manager or on-site's response to something. And then they get to you and maybe you don't agree with what the decision was of the on-site team. You know, it's imperative that you find that balance between supporting your team and making sure that the resident is heard as well without saying, wow, I can't believe they made that decision. That was completely wrong.
Right.
You know, because you certainly don't want that to happen. But we've had instances where residents have had repeated concerns about something. And, you know, this is the anomaly, if you will, where you have a resident that is just consistently has problems. You take the time, you hear them, and maybe it's the first time it's a gate situation. And the next time, she thinks that someone came into their apartment and the maintenance guy came in without authorization. Or, you know, we've had a resident that every month it's something. And so you want to not have that idea about someone that it's a regular occurrence, but sometimes it is.
Right.
You know, you may just have a difficult resident that's going to try your patients month after month after month. We had a resident that swore that no matter what, there was some mildew, because we never say the M-O-L-D word in the multifamily, had mildew in her apartment. And she swore that she was getting sick and there was issues. And we had people come in and we looked at it and we did everything we needed to do from a bleaching standpoint and treatment standpoint. And finally, we had to make a decision to pay a third party to come in because that was the only way it was going to satisfy the resident. So for us, it was worth that investment of $500, $600 to get a third party mildew / tester to come in and give her a report. And once that was done, we hadn't heard from her again, you know, so right. Making those judgment calls on, is it worth saving the money? Is it worth spending the money to get that taken care of is something that's important from an on-site perspective.
Yes. And I don't think you want to have things escalate to a point of where it becomes a real issue and problem. And so you train your on-site staff to handle these things. And as you said, Starla, you know, someone wanted to come talk to you. Yeah, if you're available to do that, that's great, because that can de-escalate the problem pretty rapidly, I would imagine. What other instances have you seen out there as far as a difficult problem and creative ways to solve it?
You know, Starla talked earlier about a person doesn't have to be a resident necessarily before they can have an issue with your property. And mm-hmm. So, you know, the application process couldn't be a start of that interaction. You know, moving into an apartment is kind of like dating.
Right.
They come in and you meet each other and you see if you like each other, and then you go on a tour of the apartment and maybe I like you, maybe I don't. And through that whole process, there's opportunity for making them satisfied and there's opportunity for having confrontation. And certainly that application process is one of those times. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about kind of those opportunities for misunderstanding during that application process.
Right. So, you know, a difficult situation could be whenever they're filling out their application and applying for the apartment and possibly getting denied the right to live in that particular apartment community. And in their eyes, that is, you know, that's a problem.
Right.
And so
sometimes insulting.
Insulting right. And embarrassing and mm-hmm. could be confrontational. So having the training and the education for the on-site team to be able to handle that situation without making it worse than it already is very important. And I think having that, the ability for them to be confident in handling that situation is so important, because they need to just express the truth. You know, we have a criteria. You read the criteria. You agreed to the criteria by signing it. Either you were not upfront with disclosing everything that you should have so that we could have made a better decision, or, you know, the information that we received back it doesn't meet our criteria, and telling them that they're denied, that's a tough situation.
Right.
But if you're training your staff to be confident in handling that situation, then I think that you don't have to get into a confrontation mm-hmm. with anyone. So, yeah.
And being right, you know, sometimes it's hard for the on-site team. They know a procedure if you have it in place, like they didn't do the right thing. They lied on the application. They didn't disclose what we were going to find, whatever that was. And so, you know, they did the wrong thing. And I have every right to keep their deposit and their application and their admin fee. And I'm not going to return it, you know, and they're calling someone because they're very upset that, you know, this is a lot of money for some people, you
sure.
know. I mean, they have may have put in a $500 or $1,000 deposit to keep that apartment. And, you know, maybe they truly didn't read it, or maybe they were disclosing information or not disclosing information, making, you know, finding that balance from an operational standpoint of when you're going to, I don't want to say ignore the policy by any means, but when you're going to make exceptions or what your company policy is to not keep that necessarily. I mean, I can understand that I would be very, very upset, you know, if $1,000 of my money was taken because I missed something on an application. And so training your on-site team and empowering them to make the decision in a situation like that. Certainly if you have someone come in that's had some bodily harm against someone or some felony or something that makes you a little bit nervous mm-hmm. about how they would react to negative feedback, I would certainly empower my team to make the right decision in that instance.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to, again, we want to avoid conflict. We don't want to bring it on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the other situations that you found, obviously, if it's a dispute over rent payment or
yes.
something, that's somewhat common. But is there anything that you've come across in your years of experience that just came out of the blue that you have never seen before? Anything?
Dogs?
That happens on yeah. a daily basis.
Yeah. Nothing's ever surprising. But animals,
yeah.
you know, the service animal and the comfort animal issue that we're dealing with from
right.
a multifamily. I mean, we hear about it on airlines, right?
Sure.
But from a multifamily standpoint, you know, the Apartment Association nationally and locally does a great job of kind of helping us go through that process. But when you come in contact with a comfort animal that is maybe an aggressive breed, and dealing with that in a delicate situation, both delicately from a legal standpoint
right.
and delicately because it is a comfort animal, so there may be some instability, if you will, if the resident is, we found that it's a very delicate situation.
Yeah.
And making sure that people understand we're in a high density environment. And so it doesn't matter how I feel about a dog. It matters that they're living next to someone that could, you know, if they want to have an aggressive dog somewhere else, but it's not about them. It's about living in that high density population that can cause injury or cause discomfort to other residents. So
yeah.
dealing with that and having a policy where you don't have aggressive breeds, but then allowing aggressive breeds as a comfort animal because you're required to by law is a delicate situation we've dealt with recently.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
and as we all know, pets are just like our family. Mm-hmm. And it is something that we're learning more about and learning to deal with on a daily basis now, because there are a lot of people who are you know, living just with their support animal, and they really do depend on that animal, where others, that may not be the case. And so for us to try to make that determination is just impossible. And so we're learning more about that and educating ourselves about how to deal with those support animals and comfort animals now.
Well, it certainly is something that is more of a recent issue than in the past. And you're right. It's with airlines and other, I've seen other news stories about it, and it's something that's going to be around for a while, I guess. We're going to take a break. We've covered a lot of ground here. We've got a lot more to do in the next two segments. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
We are back, and you're listening to the third segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the best ways to deal with difficult residents at multifamily properties. Before we get back into the conversation, I want to take a moment to thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967, and WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management services to multifamily properties. Also, I want to let you know, if you want to provide show topic and guest ideas and suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, you can go to our website, multifamilyradio.com. Joining me in the studio is Starla Turnbow with SMI Realty and Stephanie Grays with Q10 Property Advisors. And we were talking during the break a little bit about the fact that reputation management is so important today, and with social media being out there, how that has changed a lot of the way you deal with things. And I guess there are situations where, when we're talking about dealing with difficult residents, you may not know you have a problem with a specific resident because they didn't never came to the office. They just went straight to the internet and posted something. So what do you see in that regard, and then how do you deal with that?
I think you're right, actually, that there are a lot of times that we do not hear from the resident in person, like in the old days.
Right.
You know, their first line of communication is the internet, and there are a lot of avenues out there now, which is wonderful for everyone to communicate, and especially in the multifamily industry. There are avenues for residents to communicate good and bad. I think that we do sometimes hear from the residents some good things on these social media sites or these rating websites, but typically you're going to get the bad reviews there. I think that's just the nature of, that's human nature. They'll take the time to complain about something bad, but not post something positive. With our organization, and I think with the industry, we've kind of been educated to approach those situations, number one, promptly, make them a priority, and address them just like we would if they had walked into our office. But we definitely want to make sure first that they're valid, and then go from there in resolving their issue. And if there is a way to add to that review to say, you know, we're sympathetic to what happened in your situation, or that we certainly didn't know that that was happening, but we are aware now and we'll take care of it. I think that if there's a way to go back on that website or on that social media site to speak to that resident so that other people see it, then I think that that's definitely beneficial.
What you're trying to do then is if you're aware that there is a something negative on the site, then you answer them on the site as opposed to trying to get in touch with them directly. Or maybe you don't even know who they are.
I think trying to get in touch with them directly is important if we can do that, if we find out who they are and we can approach them directly and on the site.
Yes.
I think both ways.
Okay. And do you always know who they are? Is it sometimes anonymous where it's just a username or something and you can't figure it out?
Sometimes it is anonymous and sometimes it's on the wrong property because there are so many properties that have like names.
Exactly.
Or the same property name.
Right.
We've had that happen before where, you know, they put their name and what apartment and it wasn't even related to that same property.
Right.
So we have that issue too, but there are ways to resolve that and kind of get that taken off of your site if it's not truly yours. So
yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we're pretty successful in is we have alerts set on almost every single site. So Yelp, Google, Facebook, all of those, we have immediate alerts that come to us so that we can deal with it quickly. Because you do have instances where, you know, someone giving you a one review on Google can have some catastrophic effect. And so, and it's usually a situation that was one instance, they're upset about it. Try to identify that person. I mean, obviously, if it's Hot Sauce 29, then it's, you know, a little bit more difficult
right.
to figure out it's David Jones in apartment 7.
Right.
But, you know, we will address it on the site and say, deal with it right on. I'm very sorry for this. We were unaware of the situation. Please, let's take this offline and deal with it. And we want to make it better. Give us a chance to make it right. You know, our expectation is to have exceptional customer service. And if we've disappointed you in any way, we want to make sure that we do our best to rectify that. And we ask people after that, after that situation, if they had put a one or a low mark, we specifically say, would you reconsider changing your 1 to a 3 or a 4?
Right.
And we try to respond even to positive and negative. When we get positive responses, we say, thank you for taking the time to review, because we know that it takes a little bit more time to go online and log in and deal with that whole situation. We respond to every lead and respond to every review that we get. I think that's important.
Right.
And having kind of a plan of attack, if you will, because certainly if they're attacking someone on your property, if they're attacking a manager or someone that they've dealt with, that is handled completely different than if it's just, I have roaches in my apartment.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I think sometimes the level of people's craziness
mm-hmm.
will show up online that won't necessarily show up in person. And so I think as educated people, anyone that reads reviews can certainly tell if this person was probably not stable in the first place and they're commenting about whatever it is. And I love it when they include pictures. That's
right.
Always great.
Right.
Yeah. So dealing with those reviews as soon as you can and with every single one of them and validating it. We include it. We have cards that we hand out. We include it in our signature lines. Please review us online. And we include links. We have several properties that have gotten very high scores and been in the top 10 in the country because we encourage feedback on a regular basis.
So when you say you have a plan of attack and you get the alerts, do you have a specific person who handles that, or do you direct it to the on-site staff? How do you handle it?
So a specific person handles it. The alert comes to everybody in our office.
Right.
And then a specific person is responsible for whatever the property is. And then we immediately make a call to the on-site team and say, hey, do you know Hot Sauce 29?
Mm-hmm.
And start to figure out, kind of dissect the situation and figure out who it was. 9 times out of 10, the on-site team will know. And they'll say, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so in apartment 12. I, you know, charged him a late fee because he wasn't on time. He was upset. And, yeah, well, let me call him. And so we'll, you know, kind of start that process of diagnosing what went wrong and how we can do better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always mean, okay, we'll refund the fee. No, I mean, if it's a valid late fee and they were late and we look at the situation, we'll explain that. We have a policy. It's, you know, we charge late fees. We do this on the 4th and it's a standard policy. You've signed your lease. You've lived there. I hope we can make this right in the future.
And been late every month and you've paid the fees.
It's
yes.
nothing new.
Yeah.
Right? Surprise.
Right.
Late fee. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Starla, do you have specific people that handle that like Stephanie does, or do you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes. And we do encourage online reviews. I think that is the way that everyone is leasing apartments nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they look at your online reviews, whether it's Google or if it's apartmentratings.com or whatever it is, and they go to your website, they look at the floor plans, they're able to fill out the application right there online, pay their deposit, pay everything, and I think the reviews are very important. And so, yes, we do have someone dedicated to monitor them, and we also have the alert set up so that as soon as someone puts a review out there that we all hear about it. It's, you know, via email, text or whatever, where we know that someone's put a review.
Do you think that that people who are looking for apartments and go to the internet to look at reviews, do you think that a certain percentage of them understand that there's going to be some difficult people out there and maybe disregard some of those?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
That's why we respond to every single one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we're responding to every single one, whether it's positive or negative, in a very professional way. And we've had people say, oh, yeah, I read that review and I couldn't believe that they said that. And, you know, obviously, if they have such and such in their apartment, it's their fault.
Yeah, right. You know, well, so. And if you take the high road, I guess, mm-hmm. when they're reading the review and the response, a reasonable person, I think, could see yes. that's, you know, something that was unusual.
Right. And if you see, you know, negative reviews every week for a long period of time, there's probably an issue with that property.
Right.
If there's one every 3 years and then the rest are good or none, I mean, you're probably safe to say that that property doesn't have a lot of resident problems. Mm-hmm. So to lease an apartment there wouldn't be a problem for the average renter if they just saw one bad online review 3 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, I think also, you know, in this age of digital media and being able to just, you know, put all of your laundry on the internet, if you will, I think it becomes more and more important and just instrumental in how you operate an asset that you make your on-site team empowered to talk to residents. You know, one of the things we said earlier was putting people before paper. If a resident feels like they cannot be heard and they're not going to get attention from the manager because maybe the office is closed every day or you're only there a couple days a week or the manager is not approachable, I think that if you're not providing a platform for them to discuss their grievances, they're going to go online.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're walking property, talking to residents and knowing them by name and dealing with situations and informing them if the gate's going to be open or the water's going to be out, you know, really treating it like a home and a community is going to help that part of it, you know.
Yes.
And you'll have other residents come to your defense, if you will.
Right.
When you have that one rogue resident.
Yeah. Well, that's all great information, and boy, how the industry has changed with the internet from years ago when I was running an apartment. It's a completely different animal now. We're going to be back with our fourth segment in a couple of minutes after the break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
We are back with the final segment of Multifamily Matters. We are talking and discussing about the best ways to deal with difficult residents at multifamily properties. With me in the studio is Starla Turnbow with SMI Realty and Stephanie Graves with Q10 Property Advisors. We were talking during the break about training and part of that training role playing. How do you train your on-site staff internally as far as within your own company, as well as what outside training, whether it be through the associations, that they can get for how to deal with difficult residents?
Well, at our company, what we like to do when someone comes in, even if they have experience in the industry, we like to put them in scenarios outside of our company that they can see others. So we actually have them shop properties mm-hmm. around us so that they can go in and see how the other leasing agents are handling things. From a leasing standpoint, I like to encourage them to do that. And then we also have our in-house training where we do role playing and we do, one-on-one real life scenarios where if they had a situation where someone came in to lease an apartment and they had an objection to something, say it was, a closet is too small. How would they overcome that objection? Or we don't have washer and dryer connections in that particular size apartment. How do you overcome that objection? So real life training from every position, actually, from leasing, assistant manager, manager, supervisor, and so that when they encounter those situations that they feel good about how they are handling it and it's not their first time ever dealing with it.
Right.
So we try to cover all of those.
Yeah. I mean, we have internal training and then, we use the association and online options as well. I think within our organization, and one of the things I teach in my classes is setting clear expectations is important from the very beginning. So during that application process, if you're trying to avoid conflict, you want to make sure you set out the expectation. This needs to be completed fully. It's a document that you're saying everything's accurate in. The expectation is that you complete it and you pay your fee. I'll notify you within 24 hours if you're approved or not. We'll discuss that, and then we'll schedule your move-in date. And so that way you're communicating with them throughout that whole process to, again, avoid conflict. And making sure that the expectations are set from a rent standpoint. I tell the story all the time about when a leasing agent's moving someone in and they're going through that lease contract, it's an 8-page document. And most of the time you're scheduling that when, the guy's moving and he's got all of his buddies with his U-Haul waiting in the parking lot. And you're like, sign here, sign here, sign here.
Right.
How do you expect them to be held to that legal lease contract when you're not respecting that document, respecting that obligation, those expectations? And so we schedule a time outside of when they're moving in, either before, right, during that process within, 5 days of them filling out the application, but before that move-in date for them to sign the document. And we say it's going to take 30 minutes. You need mm-hmm. to set aside that time and come in so that we can go through this document. And when we get to that portion where they have a rent payment question, we bring in the person that's going to be collecting rent, the assistant manager that's
right.
going to be the bookkeeper. And she comes in and says, hi, I'm Sally, bookkeeper.
Right.
This is where you have to pay your rent, and I'm the one you're going to see when you don't pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you need to communicate with me. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to lock you out, or I'm going to, legally I'm required to do these things. And so that way it sets the expectation. So when she goes and she knocks on that door on the 4th of the month, it's not the first time she's seen that resident.
Right.
Right. She's already communicated with them that the expectation is you pay your rent. And so it tends to be a little less confrontational. We avoid more, the difficult resident. It's a little easier for us to say, hey, remember me?
Right.
I'm Sally Collector, and I asked you to pay your rent on time, and you said you would. What happened? Yeah. It humanizes it a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And, with the role-playing aspect, too, I'm in offices frequently where I see situations where residents come in, and most of the time it turns out great, and everyone's happy, and they're all, Janie in apartment 205 is bringing donuts and baked cookies to the staff. But there are instances where maybe someone came in and they got a notice on their door and they're very irate about it. Recently, I was at a property and the resident came in and I saw it going bad. I saw the leasing agent getting involved and then the manager got involved because the resident was very irate and screaming and yelling in the office. And the manager comes in wanting to defend the people, and defend his people because he knows that it's late. And I saw it going in a direction that it wasn't. I knew that it wasn't going to turn out well. And you have to make a judgment call from a management standpoint. Do I let that train wreck happen,
right?
Or do I hop in? And when I hop in, I'm undermining that on-site team.
Right.
It's a balance.
Right.
Sometimes in this instance, I kind of let it play itself out, and then brought the team in and said, "Wow, that was really, really bad. What could we have done to make that better?" And we do a lot of handwritten notes.
Mm-hmm.
When there's an instance where something happens, I have a manager write an apology note, if you will, to the resident and say, "I'm really sorry that you didn't know about this. I'm really sorry that your car was towed. I'm sorry mm-hmm. that this happened. And we find a lot of success in those things. You know, and when was the last time you got a handwritten note on your
sure.
door?
Absolutely.
You know, humanize it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've heard people say is that to disarm a situation, you can always say, I'm so sorry that this happened right off the bat. And one of the things that some, I guess, on-site staff do if they get personally offended by something or they're personally involved in it or take it personally, that they have a hard time saying that because they think it's admitting something is their fault. But sometimes that really doesn't matter, does it?
No. I mean, you need to do the right thing. It's not about being right.
Yeah.
And so even if they owe you rent, even if they paid late and they knew everything, you are solving no problems by making them feel worse about the situation or mm-hmm. proving you're right. We know you're right. It doesn't matter. Let's try to rectify the situation because you're hoping that that resident is a long-term relationship. Right. You know, I don't want him to stay for 6 months or a year. I want him to stay for 5 years.
Right.
And so if you rub them the wrong way and you make them feel worse about the situation, all you're doing is costing yourself money. Mm-hmm. And another resident. And sometimes someone told me a long time ago, I think it's a known devil is better than an unknown angel. And so even when you have that a little off resident that comes in and maybe tells you about her, you know, her diabetes or whatever it is that she comes in and she's a little off, sometimes having those residents that give you a little bit of flack that you can deal with, you never know what that other person's going to come in and do.
Right.
You know, they may be the one that I'm dealing with for 6 months because there's seven things wrong with their apartment the minute they move in. And that move-in process, too, I think is where you can avoid a lot of conflict. Make sure your apartments are ready.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, exactly.
That starts that dating process.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in that dating process and they're walking into an apartment the first day and it's not done or it's dirty or you haven't even looked at it or walked it, we're going to have some disgruntled residents. And that's the beginning of the relationship.
Sure.
Right? That's marriage day.
Right. Well, and so do you do anything? I know some. I've talked to some people in the industry who have some type of a welcome gift or something for a new resident that's coming there to start the relationship outright. Do you do something like that at your properties?
Yeah, in our properties, we do welcome gifts inside their apartment home when they arrive to the apartment itself. There mm-hmm. are things set up in the refrigerator and on their countertops and in their bathrooms for them to help make their moving experience a little bit better, and you know, kind of. Our thought is that we just want to treat people the way that we would like to be treated. Mm-hmm. And if we were on moving day and stressed out because we were, you know, having to do all of this hard work and move, which is very stressful anyway, how would we like to be treated? We'd like to be welcomed with some nice cold drinks in the refrigerator and have someone actually walk over to the apartment with us and open the door and you know, just show us that, hey, everything is fine here. Come on in, get settled in. And if you need anything, we're here.
Right.
So I think if you start off the move-in process like that and continue on that, just treat people the way that you'd like to be treated, that you can take care of these difficult situations with difficult residents.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the walkthrough, do you have a walkthrough punch out that you do right after they move in?
Yeah. So ideally the apartment's ready a day or two before they're ready to move in. And so there's a move-in condition form that you go over with the resident that you give to them and they can document things that they want you to know about that are wrong. Our leasing agents take that with them, whoever's leased the apartment, goes into the apartment before the resident gets there and logs anything that maybe, you know, there are some things in apartments that maybe can't be fixed. It's going to be something if a baseboard's off or there's a chip in the countertop. We may not replace the entire countertop. It may be something that we just note. So they'll go through and mark those things that kind of can't be fixed. And then when they go walk the resident to the apartment, they'll say, hey, I've already started this. These are the things that I've noted. Let's go through and see if there's anything else.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that certainly starting the relationship off right can possibly keep someone from being a difficult resident.
Yeah.
If they know you're trying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in the difficult time after they're a resident, if they come into the office to tell you about that situation now, you don't want them to have situations from the past. Because if the relationship starts off bad, if they have a problem, you know, 6 months down the line, the first thing they'll tell you is, when I first moved in, mm-hmm. I had all of these problems. And then they'll tell you about the problem that they have today.
Right.
So you really want to start it off on the right foot before you move them in.
Well, good. Well, This has been very interesting and fascinating, and I'm sure our listeners will agree with that. Before we leave today, I want to give each of you a chance to tell us a little bit about the companies that you work with and that you have, and if someone wanted to reach you, how could they do that?
Okay, well, the company that I am with, I'm a partner at SMI Realty Management. We are an owner-managed company. We have properties in Houston, Austin, and Dallas. We also have commercial properties in different cities as well. And we are local in Houston as our corporate office. And we do have a website, smirealty.com. You can reach me there. I am a member of the Houston Apartment Association, Dallas Apartment Association, and Austin and Texas and the National Apartment Association. So you can find me on the website. And this year I serve as president-elect for the Houston Apartment Association. Yes.
Fantastic.
Exciting. I can't wait for next year.
Yes, right. Not that this year is bad.
No.
How about you, Stephanie?
Stephanie Graves. I'm with Q10 Property Advisors. Right. We're a third-party management and consulting firm. So we do we help investors from the beginning of the process, from identifying properties to going through that due diligence process, and then ultimately third-party managing it for them. We do a lot of training and education as well. So we'll go out to different management companies or apartment associations across the country and do training for them. I'm a member of the Apartment Association as well, and pretty active in the education part of that. So that's kind of our passion, is educating and like ensuring that multifamily matters, right?
Right, exactly.
So I can, obviously you can find me at Q10PA.com, Q10PropertyAdvisors.com is our website. And I'm available and on all those social media platforms.
That's great. Well, thank you both so much for being here today. I want to remind our listeners that there are other ways to listen other than on the radio. You can listen to the live stream at 10 a.m. on Fridays at KTEK website, which is www.business1110ktek.com. You can go to the iHeartRadio app or the Business 1110 KTEK app and listen to us at 10 a.m. on Fridays. Or you can listen to any archived episode at any time at the Multifamily Matters Radio website at www.multifamilyradio.com. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next Friday at 10 a.m. with another great show and a great panel of guests. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.